Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
You're listening to the afternoon news here on 720 WGN. I'm Steve Bertrand. Thanks very much for tuning in on this Wednesday afternoon. Alderman Brian Hopkins joins us now on a phone line, fresh from the first face-to-face city council meeting in over a year, I think. Alderman, welcome back.
Hey, Steve. How are you today?
Any scratches, bruises, or how did it go with you 50 in the same room together? Or maybe I should say 51.
Well, I know. I think there were only about 20 who actually showed up in person. The rest of us stayed home and did our Zoom thing that we've been doing for a year now and got comfortable with. So I wasn't quite ready to give up the luxury of wearing my suit and tie with my Blackhawk sweatpants. Nice. I wanted one more day. So I'll be back in person in May. But today was kind of a transitional meeting where only the ones who couldn't wait to get back to City Hall showed up in
well,
person.
How are you doing? Are you, as they say, fully cooked with your vaccines?
Absolutely, yeah, 100%. In fact, I'm having a vaccination clinic tomorrow, and it's the first dose Pfizer. We had 3,500 appointments, and within the last 15, 20 minutes, we just booked the last one. So we're doing 3,500 shots in one day. Nobody's doing that anymore. The hesitancy and the supply and demand imbalance, the mass vaccination sites have really noticed the difference in softening demand. So this is probably the last time anybody in the city of Chicago is going to try to do thousands and thousands of doses in one day. It just won't be necessary anymore. You can get it at your clinic or at your doctor, Walgreens, CVS, all the pharmacies. It'll soon be just on a walk-in basis. You probably won't even need appointments anymore in the next couple of months.
Good for you for setting that up. Hey, we were talking just before you came on with the Chicago Community Bond Fund. They're the group that bonded out Ruben Roman, the 21-year-old who was with Adam Toledo. I just wonder what you think. You know, their mission is to not let people sit in jail, and I kind of took the point where I understand that, but maybe not if someone's accused of a violent crime. What do you think of groups like that posting bond for people?
Yeah, they're true to their mission.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the ACLU where they say, you know, if you can't defend the most offensive speech that just really like hits you personally, then you can't defend free speech. It's kind of the same concept there. So they've proven that they kind of live up to their ideals and they're not selective about it. So I guess you have to admire them for that, even if you don't agree with what they're doing. And I personally think there's probably a much better use of the money that they raise. They can put it into social interventions and programs that'll keep people from trying to be out in the alley at 2:30 in the morning shooting guns.
Yeah, it's a good point. They are living up to their mission. I was listening to Mayor Lightfoot today talk about her pursuit policy changes, and she says, you know, that they're working on them, that they're not going to be too quick to come out with anything. They want to do focus groups with officers and community members and things like that. You were quoted as saying you've been told that it could be that the police would have to ask for permission from supervisors before they begin a foot chase. Who told you that, and do you think that's actually going to happen?
Well, I did get a call from the mayor's chief of staff today who said that they have rejected that suggestion. So how closely they got to actually recommending it, I can't say, because we do actually have that in the policy for vehicle pursuits. That's already part of the Chicago Police Department, guidance for their probationary officers. They're told that. They're trained that at the academy. And then the field training officers tell them out in the field, if you want to pursue a vehicle, you can't do it unless you get the watch commander or, a ranking officer who's on the scene to give you authorization. So there was speculation that that would be extended to foot pursuits. The mayor's office just earlier today ruled that out and said they're still working on the draft to changes to the policy, but they do not expect that that will be included in it.
Did they tell you anything else that they think will be included in it?
I asked for an advanced copy. They said they're not ready to share that with me or assuming with any of my colleagues just yet. Obviously, this is all still very raw, just still kind of dealing with the emotional reaction to the fallout of the situation. So I fully expect that it's going to take some time for this new policy to be drafted and then eventually unveiled.
The mayor's proposal for revamping the affordable housing when it comes to redevelopment in neighborhoods and new developments, the percentage of affordable housing they would need to include or different regulations around that, it won. I think the vote was 42-8 today. You were one of the eight. Why did you vote no?
Well, because this policy will not come even close to achieving its goal of increasing the affordable housing stock in the city. It simply doesn't provide enough incentive or financial backing for private developers who will be told you have to designate 20% of your project to affordable housing and it has to have 2 and 3 bedrooms, significantly increases the cost for the project. They simply won't do the project. They're not going to lose money on a development, even one that achieves the worthy social goal of increasing the city's affordable housing stock, which is woefully short. We all know that. So I just thought this policy was misguided. All of the private developers who were involved in this said the same thing, that you could pass a policy, but what you can't do is force a private developer to build a project that they will lose money on. They simply won't do it, and they'll walk away from it. And that's one of the reasons why the attempts in the past to make the ARO ordinance more strict have failed, is because they just haven't been realistic. We, you know, look, we still have a capitalist economy. I know there's many people trying to change that. Maybe someday, perhaps in my lifetime, that won't be the case anymore. But today, it still is the case. And you can't force private industry to do something they're unwilling to do when they know that they won't make a profit by doing it.
Alderman Brian Hopkins, good to talk to you again. When you get that advance copy, send it over, will you?
Will do, Steve.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Here's Mary.